Hello everyone. So today we are having Jason Lake from geniuslink.com. I know his company from last 2 years because I have seen one of his speaking, like Harsh Agarwal, the blogger from Shout Me Loud. He promoted his company Genius Link in one of his conferences. So I watched that video and then came to know about Genius Link. And few days ago, Harsh Agarwal is doing something. It's a call with you, Jason? Yeah, it's a YouTube live with Jesse, where he give away like 2 Genius Link account, 6 month Genius Link account for absolutely free. So I was one of the winners. So I got the opportunity to interview Jesse over the call. So today we are having Jesse over here. I thought, why not to take an interview and inspire you guys. So that's why we are having Jesse over here. So Jesse, I want you to introduce yourself to my audience.
Yeah, so Jesse Lakes, co-founder and CEO of Genius Link. And an affiliate marketer for over 20 years now. And we're based here in the US, in Seattle, Washington. I guess I should mention that.
Like from the existing of internet, right? It's almost like 1998, right?
Yeah. I built my first website and dabbled in the affiliate program in 2099. So 2000, 2001 is when I built my first website and started using affiliate marketing. And then Amazon, yeah, probably in 2002, 2003 is when I first started with them.
Okay, so can you tell a little bit about your company, Genius Link?
Absolutely. So Genius Link is a link management platform with a major focus on affiliate links. So we do a variety of different things, but one of the things we're best known for is around our support for Amazon's ecosystem. A lot of people are familiar with Bitly, the URL shortener that is used very, very commonly with Twitter and other social media platforms. Well, Bitly does a great job sending everyone to one destination, and that works well for content. But in the world of commerce, like Amazon, where there's Amazon.com, which is optimized for the US, and Amazon.in, which is optimized for India, so forth and so on. There's now 17 different Amazon storefronts around the world. Well, Amazon doesn't do any real geo-targeting. So when you put a link on your blog or your website on social media, and someone clicks on that link is going to send them to the destination you chose, which will probably work well for your main audience, but isn't going to work so well for the mid-body. It allows you to use just a single link. We're going to find that same product in your shopper's local store. We're going to send them to that store and use your affiliate tracking information as well. So it allows you to really take advantage and pick up that money that's left on the table for your international shoppers. And quite regularly, we help our clients double, sometimes triple their revenue.
So I want to know, like, when you got the idea to start Genius Link?
Yeah, so about a decade ago, I was building these websites that took the soundtracks from extreme sports films. So these different skiing films and snowboarding films and surfing films. And I would list them out with this name of the section, the skier, snowboarder, surfer, and then the song that was there. I used the iTunes and Amazon affiliate programs for those. And it was... the project really kind of caught on pretty quickly. And over the next couple of years, I saw this nice hockey stick growth in traffic. But my revenue was really linear. It wasn't growing at the same rate. So I was really kind of scratching my head. And my aha moment was when I realized that my websites, they had really evolved. And a lot of the traffic was coming now internationally. But I was sending everyone to Amazon.com and the US iTunes store. And because digital music has digital rights licensing, you can't buy from the US iTunes store or for Amazon.com if your credit card doesn't also match the US. So all of a sudden I was, realized I was sending lots and lots of people essentially to a broken link. So I realized I needed a intelligent link to make sure that those clicks from, India, from the UK, from Canada, were all going to the right song in the right store so that they could buy. So that that started this whole, so we call it geo right then.
Okay, you find a problem, then fixed it. Problem solving product.
I need to solve it for myself. And then I realized that while I loved the soundtrack websites, what I was building here was much bigger. about the same time, I actually I was writing a book about the iTunes affiliate program because that was my sole revenue source. And just about the time I was ready to publish it, I sent a copy to Apple. Apple threatened to sue me. So we had a couple conversations, and then they offered to hire me. So I started working on this project, and then I had to put it kind of on the back burner. and went to Apple and worked at the iTunes affiliate program, was the global program manager there for a couple years, and essentially just made this problem worse. They paid me really well to double the size of the affiliate program when I was there. So it was really kind of eye-opening that these global brands know it's a problem, but the bigger problem is their expansion. That's their core goal. So it really just seemed like this unique niche where iTunes, you know, we were making it worse. Amazon was growing at the same time, et cetera. So 2010 through 2012 was, yeah, really kind of making the problem worse. And yeah, seeing the problem from the other side, from the websites, and realize that there was probably a pretty big opportunity here.
So before using Genius Link, like, I know I was using Amazon One Link. So that was something like, well, India was not there, like in major countries. Like they are having, I think, 6 or 7, I think. So Genius Link is something that I got. Like, I did not implement it fully. Like, I just built it on my starter site just to see like how the progress, and I am seeing some links and some conversion from native stores as well. So that is
awesome.
That is something that I love. So I just want to know, like, what is the number one conversion change? Like, the change that you did and drastically improved your conversion.
So, yeah, that number one thing is hard because different niches get different value, right? Yeah, right. So, you know, for yourself, you know, website using OneLink, right? OneLink was JavaScript based, only supported 7 countries. And OneLink also, OneLink was a direct ripoff of what we built with Genius Link. That's a whole other story that we probably shouldn't record. But
one more thing is, like, when I'm using OneLink, they are decreasing the speed. Like, speed is drastically increasing on my page, you can say. JavaScript.
Yeah, the JavaScript is crazy clunky. Exactly. So, yeah. So I guess, you know, in those instances, you know, the one, you know, silver bullet optimization is get off of OneLink. You know, is as much as OneLink is a great tool for people that are just starting out because it's free, it gets you the basic pieces, but you quickly outgrow OneLink. It, you know, it's slow. It supports a limited number of countries. The translation's not very accurate. You know, so forth and so on. So, you know, not to sound, you know, egotistical here, but one of the first things you can do is to open up and, you know, start monetizing India, start monetizing 17 different countries, 17 different affiliate, sorry, 17 different storefronts and 17 different affiliate programs now. So more than double are available outside of OneLink. You know, Genius Link, we can take any link in and we can send it to any of those countries except for, you know, Saudi Arabia is brand new. We don't support that one quite yet. Singapore is one of the other newer ones we're still working on getting supported as well. But in general, Genius Link is a premium platform for exactly that problem. Again, OneLink is great if you're just getting started, but there's, as you said, there's some serious downfalls. Yeah. But outside of that, you know, for YouTubers and social media, we're finding that there's this tool, Choice Pages, that's working really well. For email marketers, these Choice Pages work really well because Amazon's terms of service say that you're not allowed to put an affiliate link directly into your email in any offline manner. We allow retargeting pixels to be put into emails or into the links as well. So if you're you know, going from a social media site to Amazon, you can still build that retargeting audience through, you know, Facebook custom audiences, etc. We've been working on this platform for almost a decade now. So there's a lot of little things, depending on your specific niche case, where it can add a lot of value, and then kind of the other pieces kind of stack through. So sorry, that's not a very clean and concise answer for you.
Let me tell you something. Like, I had that problem. Like, I want to retarget my traffic. I just want, like, people are coming to my site and they're not clicking the link. So I want to retarget that traffic. On that live, I also asked this question to you, like, can we retarget the traffic? And I did not test that yet, but I know the conversions and everything will be very high. Add to that, the people who are clicking my link, they are one of my loyal audience. So we can
retarget. Exactly. If it's, you know, people that come to your site is here, you know, people that click on the link is here, and people that buy the link, buy something from the link is here. So, you know, the more intent, the further down the funnel they get, the more valuable they are. Absolutely. So if you have retargeting set up on just your website, that's great. That gets the wide circle. But yeah, retargeting set inside your link is, you know, that next smaller audience. Absolutely.
So I want to ask, like, lots of bloggers are there. So I want to know, what is the number one SEO mistake you did? Like, you are doing SEO, right?
Yeah. We've made a lot of SEO mistakes. Yeah. Right now, our biggest SEO mistake is, I write most of the blogs and I write what I get excited about. I have a hard time writing based off of specific keywords. So if you give me, you know, you need, you know, 1,000 words about these 3 keywords, I'm just going to procrastinate that and procrastinate that and procrastinate it. But if you tell me, you know, I want a blog that talks about, you know, the nuances between Amazon's affiliate program and OneLink, I'll get on that and I'll write a 4,000, 5,000 word blog. But it's, you know, it's my writing. So I don't optimize, and that's a real problem. I need to
I can relate to it. Same.
Like, it's so much more fun to write something you care about.
Yeah. Like, I can just type on writing. Like, when I'm writing for topic, like, I say, like, oh, I will do it tomorrow. Like, it's going like anything. Let me tell you something. There was a little story. I said one guy, okay, I want to guest post on your blog. He gave me a topic, like, top grammar tools or something. He given me in July. I did not delete like last July. I did not delete till today. Like he asked me, like I said, like it's impossible to me to write on. Like I wrote, I think 1,000 words. He's requesting around at least 2,000. Like it's impossible for me. Like, you know, writing is very difficult on that topic.
Yeah, it's exactly. So that's, you know, I don't know if that's exactly an SEO mistake, but that's my biggest challenge with SEO. And I think because of my position in the company, it's something that makes it a bit more challenging for us with SEO.
Yeah, if I tell you my mistake, then what happened is, like, I when I started my first blog, for around 7 months, I continue posting content. But, you know, in the Yoast SEO, I mark my no index to my every page of website. And I was thinking, like, why my website is not indexing? Like, but when I indexed it, after a month, I was getting a lot of traffic.
So it's almost good that you spent some time building up without getting indexed. And then when you turned it on, now you had a lot of content that could be indexed.
Yeah.
Okay. So that worked out.
Yeah, that worked well for me. But yeah, at that time, I also do lots of mistakes. I didn't know what is commercial content, transactional keyword. I was writing for the sake of writing.
Like, you know. Which is not necessarily a bad thing, right? If writing is a muscle and you need to exercise that muscle, it means that we're just preparing for the day when we need to write those blogs about the specific keywords, right? This is still practice. We're not ready to compete yet.
And one more thing is, like, in YouTubers, like, I have seen a couple of YouTubers before this video. I was just researching, like, columngenius.us, like, how many people are using it. Like, I have seen, like, a couple of people are using it. Like, in YouTube, like you mentioned on the live as well, like you need to mention Amazon, right? If you are sending through Genius link, you need to mention Amazon there, right? So I have seen, like, your service, like how it works. I mean, when you connect your YouTube channel inside Genius link, right? So how it works, like your team manually go or replace that link, or Genius link automatically replace all the links?
Yeah, we have a tool called the YouTube Link Optimizer, and it's a tool that we have to run on our side, but you have to optimize your channel. But it's when you authenticate your channel with our tool, we can then tie into your channel via YouTube's API. And what we do is we crawl through every single description programmatically. Okay. We find all your AMZN.to links or whatever link type you're telling us. We then resolve those. We find the duplicates, resolve those, build out a Genius link in your account, and then stick that back in your description. So the gist is you can very quickly convert hundreds or, you know, 1,000+ videos into using Genius link by just having us run the tool. And we run the tool, you know, a couple times a week, but, you know, people will authenticate, you know, throughout the week, and then we kind of run them in bulk.
It's good, right? Like, I have seen a couple of YouTubers, every YouTuber do, right? My tools here, like my resources, like for them, like in every niche, people can do it. It will be a game changer. Add to that, like on YouTube, you can say you can't know from which country. Like if in India people are speaking in Hindi, then they know, okay, the content, there are only two things, like Amazon.in, people will be there, right? But if you're having an international YouTube channel, then it's quite a good thing.
Well, I think the thing too is, you know, unless you're even if you're a very specific niche and, you know, in a local language, you still get people, you know, internationally that, you know, the world is such a melting pot. You know, there's, you know, Indians in America and Americans in India, you know, all the time that, you know, need to buy from those local stores. So I think it's really eye opening. You know, again, back to my story about when I first started out, I didn't realize how much international traffic I had. And once I did, I realized that I was just failing at monetizing. I think that happens all too often with YouTubers, that they don't look at that international breakdown of their audience and realize that, you know, 30, 40, 50% of their traffic is coming from outside that country, you know, outside of the US if they're using Amazon.com links, or outside India if they're using Amazon.in links. And that's just, I think that's the first step in really kind of helping, help you monetize just understanding what the opportunity is. Now, if you're only seeing 5% of your traffic coming from outside your main country, then you're doing something great. Keep it up. GeniusLink probably isn't a great tool for you. But if you're seeing 20, 30, 40% of your traffic international and you're using Amazon links a lot, well, you may want to consider that opportunity from monetizing some of those international users.
Yeah. Add to that, user experience also is good.
Exactly. User experience is really, we optimize for user experience first. We optimize for monetization second. So if in our mind, you know, and this goes a lot with Amazon and Jeff Bezos' whole philosophy of being, you know, a customer-centric company, right? It's that end user. If we can't add value for that end user, then what's the tool really supposed to be doing, right? So if we can help that end user, that shopper, very quickly do what they want to do or give them the tools to do what they want to do, then us as the YouTubers, the clients, the creatives, that's only beneficial for us. We'll monetize as things progress. But at the end of the day, if you're coming from this country and that product's available in this store, if I can make it easier for you, I should. That's just making the internet a better place.
Now, you mentioned that choice pages. Like, I have used that. Like, the email marketing is good. Like, that is something that will improve. Can you give some tips to email marketers, not for GeniusLink, but how to open, get more open rates or something?
Unfortunately, I'm a pretty crappy marketer. I've done some affiliate stuff over the years, but again, I fail at SEO. Email marketing is not my forte. And thankfully, we have the resources now we have a great CMO that is really good at exactly these things. Yeah. So maybe I should line up our CEO to give the interview about the email marketing tips. But we found, it's just experimenting with subject lines is huge. A lot of tools now will allow you to do kind of a multivariate test before you send. So, 10% will go here, 10% will go here, and which email had the higher conversion rate? Okay, then we're going to send the 80%, whatever. So, tools like that are great. Also, less, the more succinct and the less fluff. I enjoy writing, but I don't always write the most tight emails, right? I use more words than I probably should. So Grammarly is a great tool to help you kind of cut some of that crap out. And I think that's super important for email marketing, is just get to the point as quickly as possible, because if you don't, people, and I do this myself, just you get rid of it.
Even choice pages is something that really saved me, because when I do email marketing, I always have to create a page on my website.
Well, that's because Amazon, go ahead.
Like, I'm creating a page, like, let's suppose I am having, there is a book laying over there. So what happened is, like, I read that book, I really loved it. So I did, why not to promote it to others? So what I did, like, I can't upload direct links. What I did, I go to my website, like you said, like writing content, like, but that is not optimized for SEO, because, for ranking for books is very difficult, because, Google rank system is there. Google will tell you, okay, this rating they give in all ratings, they're like, getting a click over there is very difficult. So I know no SEO thing will be going to help me. But at that time, like, I created a page with 500 words and describing about the book and something. Like, I love to do that in my emails, but it's very difficult to describe over there, because Amazon may be thinking, right, like, how you are driving traffic, it may be a manual review or something come up, like, they will think, okay, maybe he's doing something kind of black hat, like a little content and they're sending them the traffic. Like, I love the pages that are inside the GeniusLink and the disclosures and everything is being taken care of.
Exactly. So Amazon, as you said, they rule with an iron fist. If you move into the gray area, anything black hat, and they catch that, you get kicked out of the affiliate program, and it's really hard to get back in, if not impossible. So, you can't use Amazon affiliate links in offline manner, right? Emails offline, PDFs are offline, text messages, that all is not allowed by Amazon. It's buried deep in the terms of service, but you're not allowed to do those things. So, choice pages seem to work really well for email in particular, social media as well, but you're going from a link from your email to the choice page, which is technically a landing page, which is technically online. So you're legit, and we actually work very closely with some of our contacts at Amazon to confirm that they're all above board. But yeah, as you also said, you know, the FTC disclaimer is there, the Amazon disclaimer is there. It's not cloaking because we have the Amazon logo. You know, we've tried very hard to cover all the different things that normally get a YouTuber or an email marketer in trouble with Amazon's affiliate program, and take care of those with just this one easy, super easy to build, you know, choice page package. So glad to hear you're seeing some success with them as well.
Yeah. And one more thing, like, I want to know about, about you. Like, you are running this Genius Link, and what are other ventures you are having in? I mean, if you want to disclose some, like,
what are the other? I missed the question.
Ventures, like, maybe you're having a website or something that you want to disclose.
No. Yeah. So, I have a hard time staying focused, and you know, now a decade into it. So we have been exploring some other things. A year ago, we bought this this platform called Kit. It's kit.co. And Kit is it's a place where creatives share different kits, really groups of products that they've put together to solve a specific scenario. So, you know, podcasters will share their setup for podcasting. Photographers will share their you know, camera bag and the gear they use. People often share the different books they love reading over the year. Chefs will share everything in their knife kits, etc. So it's just a place for people to take lots of different products, put them in a curated package, and then of course it's affiliate based as well. So the creators can add their affiliate tracking information into the Kit dashboard. And then all the links they share can be monetized as well. So it's really a very easy way to start monetizing and a great way to kind of start curating the pages. You know, it's well designed, it's clean. It takes advantage of Genius Link's international link translation as well. So you know, you have one product and it, you know, again, what kind of works around the world, and you can earn commissions there. So that's been a really good venture for us. Great acquisition. It really ties in well. And then a few years ago, we also bought a Booklinker. Booklinker is a tool specifically for authors to promote their books. And again, it's also built on the Genius Link engine. It's just kind of a very simplified version of Genius Link, specifically again for authors. A lot of indie authors use it to create, they call it universal book links, but just that book that works between all the different Amazon stores. So those are our kind of two major side ventures. We've got a few other ideas in the works, but there's so much cool stuff we can do with Genius Link that it's really hard for me to get my engineering team to put the Genius Link projects on the side to actually work on, you know, Jesse's daydream of what other cool tool happens. So, it kind of comes in fits and spurts, but we're constantly looking for other ways where we can help our clients or kind of help the ecosystem in a bigger place, you know, take advantage and help them earn a living as a creator and help, again, the consumers have a better experience.
So the last question, I just want to know the one tip that you want to give to all creators.
What's one thing we want to give to all creators?
Yeah, one tip.
Follow your dreams. I mean, that's not a great tip, but yeah, it's so often it seems that creators are kind of stigmatized for not getting a real job, and that's such bullshit. You know, it's we need creators. There's so many cool, important things that creators do. You know, between podcasters and YouTubers, authors, musicians, I consider them all creators, and that those are all such essential things. Especially in these crazy times we're in right now with the pandemic, with being locked down, we need that creative outlet. So do your thing. Don't feel burdened. Get out and express yourself, because we need that right now. I think it's now more important than ever. So I don't know if that's what you were looking for, but that's my answer from my heart right now.
That's good. Pretty good. And I don't know, that I just got one very good question, but I forgot it right now. So
sorry guys for interrupting you over here. Actually, what happened at that time, there is one question that I want to ask Jesse, but at that time what happened, I forgot at that time. So that question will continue right after this video.
So Jesse, I want to ask you, what the kind of mindset creator need to have when they're not seeing progress or anything? What are the kind, you are doing this stuff from last 20 years, what's the kind of mindset they need to have at that time?
Yeah, mindset's a hard thing, especially as a creator. It's really easy to get in your head and feel the roadblocks and just kind of get stuck. So I think the mindset that you need to have to really, when things are going well, it's not really a challenge. It's really the mindset is the concern when things are not going well. I think the thing for me that's been really helpful is just knowing it's one foot in front of the other. Just take one little step. It doesn't have to be a huge step. You don't have to accomplish something crazy, but just do one little thing and then do one more little thing and then just do one more little thing. And those little things, yeah, maybe you feel some weight and you feel some burden, but just take something that feels too big and cut it down again if you need to, and cut it down again. And you know, it may be as simple as, you know, writing a single email or, you know, clearing off your desktop, but just taking that one little step at a time. It's pretty impressive the distance you can go by just taking one step at a time. And as long as you're willing to just take that little baby small step, you're making progress, and progress is important. So yeah, hopefully that helps.
Okay. So one more thing I had to add, like I watched some video on YouTube somewhere, like that guy was telling, like, just think of, like, when you're starting your venture, maybe it's your first day. First of all, close your eyes and think of after the 10 years where you are. If you are running this venture, where you will be.
Sorry, I didn't catch all that question again. One more time.
It's not a question, Vin. It's a for value addition. Like, I watched a video on YouTube. That guy was telling, like, if you're starting any kind of venture, whatever it is, just close your eyes and think of where this venture will take you there. What is the destiny you want to accomplish? That will help you to stay motivated as well.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. I daydream all the time about where I think, you know, Genius Link can go, or where Kit can go, or where Booklinker can go, or where just, you know, affiliate marketing or creators in general. Like, that's, yeah, I run a lot. Running's kind of my exercise. And when I'm running, it's really easy to just kind of have these brainstorms, sessions where I can think about, you know, all these wonderful things that can happen. I completely agree. That's a great way to kind of help motivate yourself, incentivize yourself to take those steps forward. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. So that's all for this particular interview. So guys, if you want to check out the JSA's Genius Link service, then the link will be given below this video or podcast. But where are you listening to this particular conversation with us? So that's all for today, and I will see you inside the next one.
Thank you so much, guys, for tuning to this particular episode. I really love you because you are in the end of this particular episode, and I want one favor for you. If you are listening to this episode on Apple Podcast, then please give it a 5-star rating. It will be being a world to me and also help our podcast to grow a little bit. That's all for this outro, and I will see you inside the next particular episode.